And what they normally do is they design a Christianity that accommodates the lifestyle that they have chosen to live, and they base their eternity on their brand of Christianity. We can't afford to be wrong. Now, you're not going to be 100% right about everything. The Bible is too big and God is too big and vast for that. But listen, we need to strive to be as scripturally sound as we can be. Because there's people who come and knock at your door, and their goal is to tell you that you're not saved because you don't believe their doctrine. And they may tell you that unless you are baptized in their church by their formula, that you're not saved. And you need to be able to give an answer. And most Christians cannot give an answer for what they believe and why they believe it. And so having our foundation solid is so important that when somebody comes to you and says that Jesus was not really human, he was Michael the Archangel. Now that shouldn't catch you by surprise. That you have to earn your way to heaven. Those things, you should have answers for those things. So one of the foundational things is to understand who God is and what he's like. See, somebody may come and say, well, you're a polytheist. You believe in three gods. You believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so you're a polytheist, more than one God. Well, that's why we're studying this, okay? Because we know that Deuteronomy says that in 6:4 says that the Lord our God is one God, okay? But in the New Testament, we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is it one God or three gods? So we need to have a general understanding of these kind of things so that when somebody comes to us and tries to get us off of our faith, because that's what some people are trying to do. They're trying to convert you to their way of thinking. And you know what I'm trying to do today? I'm trying to convert you to the right kind of thinking. And all of the groups believe that they have the right kind of thinking. But there's only one source that we can go to get the right kind of thinking. See, we don't get to make up our own brand of Christianity. Well, let me tell you what I believe. Well, who cares? Tell me what the Bible says. See, that's what we got to go with. If the Bible is true, and there's a possibility that it's not true, that the Quran is true and the Bible's false, if that be the case, we're in trouble. Okay? Or it could be that the Bible is true and the Quran is false. Well, could it be that both of them are true? No, because they contradict each other. Truth does not contradict itself. So we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and we want to practice our faith within the context of the Scripture. And so one of the general things that we need to understand is about who God is. What is he like? Are we worshiping three gods? Or are we worshiping one God? And here's the premise, and here's the little illustration, and this is what we have been teaching. If you've not been here, you can go online, believerscommunity.org, and you can get caught up. I don't have time to teach it all over again. I'd love to, but I don't have time. But here's what we have given you scripture for, that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Spirit is God. And then the Father is not the Spirit is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, but they're one. We have one God in three persons. Three persons in one God. The essence of God is all the same. Our God is indivisible. That means he cannot be divided. You cannot divide a triangle. If you take away one part of the triangle, you no longer have a triangle. You can separate an egg, the shell, the white, the yolk. You can separate the white and the yolk, and you can have two separate things. But you cannot separate God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're one in essence. They're one in purpose. They're one in thought. But they're three persons in one God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Is the Father a person? Is the Son a person? Is the Holy Spirit a person? And let me just go ahead and answer that. Then I'm going to give you scriptures. Yes, yes, yes. See, there's some people who teach, and some of the New Agers, and there's New Agers out there. They'll tell you that the Holy Spirit is just an energy. It's just a force. It's an energy. Some people teach that the Father adopted Jesus on the cross as his son, that Jesus was not God, but he was adopted by God on the cross, or at his baptism. There are some people who teach that the Father created the Son and the Father created the Spirit. But we have looked and saw that the Father, Son, Spirit are co-equal, co-eternal. There is none higher than the other. They are in perfect unity, harmony, the same essence, and they're indivisible. You cannot divide them. But today we're going to ask the question, are they a person? Is each one a person? And the answer is yes. Now, let me give you the definition of a person. When we think of a person, I look at Nancy, and she looks like a person to me. The reason that she looks like a person is that I can see her physical form. But now, personhood is not just described by a personal form, a body. A person is one with a mind, a will, and feeling who can choose, think, and feel. Does not necessarily have to have a body to be a person. When we come to funerals, we have the body here. And what do we always say when we comfort the one that's grieving? They're not there. They are with God. When you die physically, do you cease to be a person? No. A person who has gone on to be with the Lord can still feel, think, and choose. They don't cease to exist, even though they do not have a physical body, but they're still a person. Lost my dad a couple years ago. Hey, he still exists. He's still a person. And you have lost loved ones, and they still exist. They're a person, but they don't have a physical body as such. The time will come that we will have a glorified body, okay? But a disembodied individual is still a person, okay? So can we say the Father is a person? Yes. Can we say the Son is a person? Yes. Can we say that the Spirit is a person? Yes. See, we don't really have a big problem with Jesus being a person because we knew that he lived and had a body. And, you know, a lot of times we don't have big problem thinking that the Father is a person because we have the concept of fatherhood in our society. One thing that we all have in common is that every one of us has a father or had a father. You may not know him. You may have never known him. But let me guarantee you, you had a father. Okay. And most of us have known our fathers, good or bad. And they had some kind of influence in our life. So we understand the concept of fatherhood. If you didn't know your father, maybe you had someone who was a father image in your life. But we kind of understand the concept of fatherhood so that we know and can see that he's a person. Does the Father have a body? No. The Father is a spirit. Okay? But is he a person? Yes, he's still a person. Now, in my mind as a kid, he looked like Gandalf the Magnificent. You know, white beard, long robe, Big Stick, Gandalf. That was my, I don't know where I got that mental image, but that I thought he was an old man that sat on the throne and he was waiting for me to do something wrong so he could smack me on the head. That was that. It was an image. It was a wrong image. And let me just tell you, one of these days when we go to be with the Lord, and see, we try to understand things with peanut minds. Although we have wonderful minds, tremendous minds, a finite mind trying to comprehend an infinite God is just, you just can't do it. But one of the things that's going to happen is when we pass over and we have a glorified body, soul, and spirit, guess what? We're going to be able to look at him. We're going to see things about him immediately. There's just going to be astounding. It's just going to be tremendous. We'll be able to comprehend more. I don't know that we'll ever be able to take him all in because he is so vast. But we're gonna know such more than we do now, and it's going to blow any image of God that we've ever had in our lives. And it's going to be a good thing for those who know him. Amen? Amen. Now, don't y'all be quiet like first service, okay? I need a little feedback here from time to time. If you can't say amen, say oh me. But, okay, let's look at some scripture. The Father is a person. Number one, he knows. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 30. We're going to pop the verses up there for you. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. Now, look at this next word, saying. You know how we worry? We say. Have you ever been around a worrier? You know what they do? They worry and they say. They say. You know, have you ever been around a person of faith? You know what they do? They say. They say something different than the worrier does. See, the person who worries says, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? You know what the person of faith says? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that's just another lesson. We'll do that one sometime. But that's a good lesson. So you express your inner being by the words of your mouth. And so don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek for your heavenly Father. What's that next word? He knows. He knows. Now, what does he know about you? What does he know about you, Gene? He knows everything about you. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your eternity. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows what you think before you think it. He knows what you need. You cannot have a need in your life that your Father doesn't know that you have that need. And if we know that he knows that we have a need, and we know that he loves us, can we trust him to meet our needs? See, the fact that the Father knows, there's not anything that he does not know. So guess what? We can trust him. He knows the things you have need of. And you know what it goes on to say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Wow, that's pretty powerful. When we put first things first, we're not thinking about ourselves. We're not thinking about what I need. Me, my mind. And we put others first, put God first and others first, God will make sure what you need gets to you. And he'll even make sure that more than what you need gets to you. See, it's when you worry, you're focusing on me and mine. I'm preaching another lesson, but somebody needs to hear this. We're thinking about me and mine. What we need to be thinking about his and others. And he says he'll take care of us. So, but the Father knows. Number two, the Father can choose. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10 says this. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And part of that prayer was, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Father has a will. He wills and he chooses certain things. So the fact that he can know and will and choose shows us that he has the qualities of what we would call a person. And you know what? We can pray. This is a good thing for us to pray. Lord, today, your kingdom come in my life. Lord, today, your will be done in my life. Make that personal. Lord, because, you know, we're always thinking about, oh, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I want to do. Well, what we need to be praying is, Lord, today, let your kingdom come in me greater than it was yesterday. Lord, today, may your kingdom come in me. May your will be done in me more today than it was yesterday. Because, listen, we're not walking in perfect obedience to God. It's a growing relationship that we have with God. And so we need to allow that. We participate in that by learning to yield to him, to his will, not our will. Jesus even did that. He basically said, Lord, I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to go to the cross. He knew what was going to happen. But you know what he said? Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Because he knew what he had to do. He was surrendering the will of the flesh, because everything within his flesh repelled against the cross. But he said, Lord, that don't count. It's not what I will, it's what you will be done. So the Father has a will. So he is a person. Can he feel? Genesis chapter 6, verse 6. The Bible talks about the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, and they went into them and had children, and men became very wicked in the earth. And the Bible says in Genesis 6:6, and the Lord was sorry that he had made men on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Can the Father be grieved? You know what you grieve about? See, you grieve for people that you love. You know, I hear about maybe somebody that passed away and you feel bad, you know, for that family. And you say, Lord, you know, bless that family. But I don't grieve over that. But have you ever lost a loved one? Someone that you loved? See, you grieve over that. And see, this grief is not grief that wants to pass judgment, even though that's what he had to do. That grief came out of love. He loved, and they were falling short, and he knew what he was going to have to do, and it grieved him at his heart. See, that shows us a little bit about the heart of God. God is not interested in condemning and judging us. He may have to. For those who reject Jesus Christ, he'll just carry out their wills, and he'll pass sentence on them. But he has no choice. But that's not what he wills. And it will grieve his heart when that happens. He grieves over his love. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. My shouters stayed home today, didn't they? Okay. So the Father grieves. He feels emotion. So he can... He can know, he can choose, and he can feel. Therefore, by definition, he is a person. Now, is Jesus a person? We don't really have trouble with that because we know that he lived as a man. And He was a person. But let's look at some verses here. John 2, 24 and 25. It says this, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He could think. He could know. He knew certain things. There's our ghost. He had a mind. Could he choose? I love this verse, John 10. You know, a lot of people look at Calvary and they think, you know, poor Jesus was betrayed and his disciples ran away and he was victimized and, you know, he was punished and, you know, they just overwhelmed him. Let me read you a verse. John 10, 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus was not a victim. He willingly submitted himself to the death of the cross, to the humiliation and the shame. At any time he could have stopped it, the angels would have rescued him. But he chose to die. Now that was a tough choice. It's one that he struggled with in the Garden of Gethsemane. But listen, he chose to do it. He could choose. That's why he's a person. Can he feel? I'm going to quote a verse that a lot of you know. It may be the only Bible verse that some of you know. Anybody know what it is? Yes. Yes. John 11, 35. Lazarus had died. What did it say? Jesus wept. Were those fake tears? Nope. There was times he looked at Jerusalem and he said, how often I would gather you under my wings as a chick gathers her babes, but you would not. He was passionate. He felt emotion. You know why? Because he was a person. We don't have a problem believing that. It's easy. But what about the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit a person? I want to tell you something. I told you this last week, but some of you weren't here, and you need to hear it again. In the New Testament, under the New Testament, in the church age, we deal more with the Holy Spirit than any other part of the Godhead. Read the book of Acts. The things that happened that began on the day of Pentecost had to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit does? Well, he shows us Jesus. So let's look. Let's ask the question, is the Holy Spirit a person? Does he have a mind? John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Do you have to have a brain if you teach? And he will bring all things to your remembrance, all things that I have said unto you. He was talking to his disciples. He said, when that Holy Spirit's coming, he's going to bring you and he's going to teach you all things and he's going to bring you into truth and he's going to bring to your remembrance the things that I've said to you. You know, he still does that today. You know what? When you're reading your Bible, have you ever read your Bible and maybe verses that you have read 10 times before and all of a sudden just something just leaps off the page at you and you go, whoa, you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit teaching you something. He is illuminating something to your understanding. And you know what? If you'll store that Bible in your heart He'll bring it to your remembrance. If you don't store it, he has nothing to bring to your remembrance. That's why, again I say unto you, that's why we have you reading your Bibles. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. He's not going to bring a scripture to your mind that you've never read. There's nothing to draw on. When he does that, he'll bring it to you in a time of need, and it will be energized with the power of his presence. And when you speak that out your mouth, it'll work. It'll be like a sword of the Spirit. In fact, that's what it is, the sword of the Spirit. So he brings it to your remembrance. So he has a mind, and he can work where that is concerned. Can he choose? 1 Corinthians 12:8. Listen to this and follow me. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the what? To another the word of knowledge through the same. To another faith by the same. To another gifts of healing by the same. To another discerning of spirits. To another different kinds of tongues. To another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Who is it that calls men and women to office? It's the Holy Spirit. Who is it who equips men and women with spiritual gifts? It's the Holy Spirit. That is his duty as a member of the Godhead. He is active, working with believers in their lives. He is not just a force or an energy. He is a person. Now, let me ask you a question. Can he feel? Ephesians 4:30 says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We talked about grieving a while ago. Who can grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Those who are in relationship. We go, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't obey what he tells us to do? When we sin, it grieves the Holy Spirit. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. He has feelings. Non-entities, non-persons do not have minds, wills, or feelings. The Holy Spirit is a person. Next time somebody tells you, no, the Holy Spirit's not real. Holy Spirit's just an energy or a force. And some of the New Age people kind of teach that kind of stuff. You need to be able to go to your Bible and say, hey, look here. I want to show you something. The Holy Spirit can choose and distribute gifts. You need to be able to defend your position. You don't need to be easily shaken off of your faith. And that's happening a lot. It's happening a lot with our teenagers as they go to college. They'll meet professors who are agnostic or atheistic or have some kind of New Age philosophy, and they will attack the credibility of the Bible. They need to be able to stand against those kind of things and not buy into everything that comes down the pike discrediting their faith. Okay, here's one other thing. We're going to close. I want to give you some one more verse. See, we make a mistake in the church sometimes that we refer to the Holy Spirit as a it. Do you refer to your wife, guys, as a it? Your mama didn't raise no fool, did she? Don't call your wife a it. Your wife is a person. Has a personality, don't they? They have a will, don't they? They have a mind of their own, don't they? And they definitely got feelings. And they can get grieved in a hurry. Have you noticed that? Okay, Let's not get too carried away with that. I'll get in, my wife's at home. I can say any of this. And that's because they're not a it. They're a person. But let me show you a verse. John 16:13. You help me here. However, when, what's that next word? He, the Spirit of truth, has come. What's that next word? He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he can hear. He can speak, and he will tell you things to come, and he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Does that sound to you like an energy or a non-entity? The Holy Spirit is as much a person as God the Father and God the Son. They're one. It's not three gods. It's one God. Manifest in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Next week we're going to wind this up because we're going to talk about some bad teaching that goes about the Holy Spirit. I think you need to be aware of it. We're going to look at some instances where all three or one or two of the members of the Godhead were present at one time and being manifested. After the next week after that, Nancy is going to speak that Sunday. She's got an announcement that she's going to make, and she's going to share some things from her heart, and it's going to be really good. Really good. I want to pray. I'm going to ask our prayer team if they'll come at this time. And we got any prayer team here? Yeah, we got some. You know, if you're here today and you have any kind of need, but especially if you're here today and maybe you haven't come to faith in Jesus Christ, that you've not personally accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you can do that here today. We want to give place for that as often as we can. But I want to pray for the rest of you as we talk about these things, you have a choice to make. And I encourage you to go to your Bible. Don't believe anything that I say just because I say it, because I am fallible. Ask my wife. I can make mistakes. I can be wrong. But I don't believe the Bible can be wrong. If it's the Word of God, it cannot be wrong. And so go to your Bible. Check these things out that I say. If they're true, you have a decision to make. Now, I was raised where I didn't hear a lot of this kind of stuff. Maybe you heard stuff and you realize that you heard stuff that's different than what you've heard here. Then you need to make a decision about what you believe. You have to choose what you believe. But you need to base it not on what grandma said. How many of you know grandma can be wrong too? Pastor can be wrong. Grandma can be wrong. Mama can be wrong. Daddy can be wrong. But the Bible can't be wrong if it's the Word of God. So we need to go back to the Word of God. And we need to wrap our theology around the Word of God, not the Word of God around our theology. So we all have to make changes sometimes in the way that we see things so that we can see them correctly so that we won't easily be taken off the path. So really you got some studying to do and you got some decisions to make. Some of you, this has just been review and it just confirms what you already knew. But Father, I just pray right now that hearts would be open and receptive, that they might know you better in a greater way. Lord, may we not shut our hearts down because of our tradition, because of wrong teaching or no teaching, but may we be always open and receptive to your word. Thank you for the opportunity to share it today. Drive it home to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you need to make Jesus Lord, come, they'll pray with you. If you got other needs, come, but let's stand and we're going to worship God today. Then Joe will come back and close the service.